What else do you need to know? Can I be that one?
Thank you. the for Linux instance running on the local computer, in which, for instance, Mozilla runs, is not trusted. They use it, for instance, for signing messages. So it makes no sense to port the whole Mozilla application to the microkernel. Instead, they are running it on Linux, and just for signing the messages, to make sure that the GNUPG binary is not in any way forged, they can run it on as part of the trusted computing base. And there is a visual indication if this program they are running is actually trusted. Brings us to the window manager, which is not really a window manager, but more a windowing environment, which is not quite comparable to F4, because, as I said, it has the display of security domains. You can always say if a window you have opened is trusted or untrusted. We can always say if a window you have opened is running on real-time, not real-time mode. You can actually guarantee the real-time in this system. And it is scripted, but in our case of KDE applications or Qt application, this is part of the tool that you probably know scripting methods for Qt. So let's see how this all comes together. But before we just have a look at the system, this is a typical screenshot of Dope. It is running at volumes, just Qting in one window. And on the left, the colored bars are displaying the real-time performance of each window or application. So you can actually see if your system, for instance, if you do video editing, if it is still capable to operate in real-time, or whether the system performance has already been surpassed by the computation requirement. Now we're starting next. Familiar screen, I guess. Now we are having a normal X11 desktop running. Usually there would be a KDM beforehand if you log in graphically. So this is what people actually use in our university. They log in Linux boxes running on the L4 microphone. And this is a more fancy screenshot of Dope, which had alpha transparency for quite some time. All those features which you probably want to have for your graphical needs. Okay, now to the real part of this talk. How did we get Qt ported to this kernel? Now, the two guys who were responsible for doing it were a colleague and me, both students at the university, and we took us about half a year to do it. So we're going to see now why it takes so long. So the task was to get somehow a toolkit for a DROPS environment which can be used to create graphical applications. While DROPS has its merits, its widgets are not really advanced. So you really want a tested proven toolkit for which you can use to create high quality applications and not just some technical demos to play around. So this was the task. And there are of course side effects. For instance, we could look into the real-time requirements of Qt. What happens if you insert an element into a list box? How can you specify the complexity? But this was not the main task. The problems we had. There was no libc, which is kind of fun, because if you want to compile Qt, you somehow need a libc, right? At least anyone who has ever compiled Qt. I mean, you can try to delete libc from your computer and try to do anything. It will be kind of difficult. The next one is that Qt uses mock meta-object compiler, and it somehow has to be integrated into the build system, which can be done using the Qt build system, but if you want to integrate it has been voted to try some architectures, different operating systems already. And at least we thought it would be more or less complete. But this is a screenshot of the first more or less successful full compilation we did. And we started it up and didn't show any output. That would be the, I think, cute demo. Well, there should be some widget in the middle, but they are not to see. And this is what took us quite some days to debug. How do we get the widgets in there? Because there should be some. And don't be distracted when I have a changing desktop background. Well, this is maybe 1 or 2 weeks later, I don't remember anymore. Quite some progress we had at the window. It should display a title, it doesn't. Well, there was a problem with the font because the operating system doesn't really have any fonts in it. So you could right click or left click on the context menu on the upper left and it would crash because display title without having a font installed apparently works. But as soon as the menu is called, well, it crashes. Somehow we still succeeded, so after some time we could display full build program. As you can see in the background, there's already a lot of stuff loaded, which we didn't need in the beginning, so we were doing all the dependencies to get everything we need. As you can see here, L4 VMS, we need a virtual file system, otherwise we couldn't access the fonts. And what else is there? Font is the output console, it's like a graphical protocol. But I will now explain how the architecture works. Oh, this is an example application which just to show that we can use it for something useful. You get a task view with all the native tasks running in there, and you can just by click kill the task. CPU usage and well, it's like top. So again, the boring part. What we did was just to prepare the build system, the native build system, which is called Bit, and stuff, put somehow in there, and adapt all the bake files and bake let to let it compile. Then we had to let it link, which was not that easy. We had to hack a bit to make it work. And then there's lots of Linux-specific source code into the embedded, especially because it is tailored for embedded Linux devices. So there was not really an independent abstraction like you would like to have sometimes. There are lots of devices being talked to directly without having to write. Then we had to design the framework of an input drug because the operating system is versatile. So like on Linux where you have a frame buffer and an X server, you can have different output options for this operating system as well. One is the one I just showed. You have a plain SDL console, which is only useful if you run it on top of Linux for debugging purposes. And you get Dota, which is even though environment you just, like, with me, I just cannot run it and get it on my computer because so far it's x86 only. These are all implementations. And, well, it's also in CVS, which is this week or next week being switched to Subversion. So if you want to check it out, you better wait some days. You know what an SVN integration is all about. Now some patches, probably not very useful. The normal ones, which shows that we need some kind of different file systems. So we put every file into the acute file system hierarchy because we have no slash etc and no slash dev. So everything was mounted from within the acute library directory, which is always needed for the font because acute embedded has its own font. This is normal, the normal task of adding a different driver to acute embedded, as you might know, it has a backing structure providing mouse drivers, keyboard drivers, and display output drivers. So we just write a new C++ file, you add it to the .proc file, and you reference it within the main task in the driver factory for each driver type. So the .dri factor on PMO. And we had to do some kind of shared memory and locking modification because this is not available on the system as such. So you cannot just require a lock without having some kind of data space over which the processes can communicate. Same for sound. Well, and then there were some not really expected modifications we had to do. I'm not going to show you the plugins because this is just edit code. More interesting is the modified code. So what else had to be modified without us having to, well, having it in mind beforehand. Well, acute FTP is a FTP transfer class, so you think you can just initialize the class and use it for your FTP transfer, which is not quite good if your underlying virtual file system does not support packages larger than 4 kilobytes. It was not too easy to find out. Okay, that was it for the talk. good.